O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I bet you can't wait to hear me preach on this gospel. Something preachers always look forward to looking at this one. Actually, I do sort of enjoy this text. It's interesting because it's a text of encounter. But at the heart of this text is the problem of how do we come to a right relationship with God and how do we maintain it. That is at the heart of this gospel text. Actually, it's at the heart of the Joseph story. You know, his brothers were so angry with him. They hated him. He was a spoiled brat. And he probably knew he was his father's favorite. And they wanted to get rid of him. Righteous indignation. He deserves to die because he's wrong. So he sold to Egypt, thanks to Reuben and Judah. But yet, he is the one who then becomes next to the Pharaoh in power. And he is the one who saves not only Egypt, but the Jews, the Hebrews, from starvation. And two things came into play there. His brothers came with Lord have mercy. And he reached out as someone who knew the mercy and love of God and responded in love. Now today, in the gospel for today, we have three encounters going on. We have Jesus talking to the religious leaders of the time. We have Jesus talking to the disciples. And Jesus talking to the Canaanite woman. Well, the discussion that Jesus has about whether to eat food that's with your hands washed. The disciples have been going along the road and probably saw some corn. I mean, here we would worry about the fact that corn belongs to somebody else. But in this particular case, they're more concerned about ritual purity, a law. Because through the Old Testament, through Moses who established the law, the way in which the early Hebrews understood the nature of God was through ritual purity, of being pure. How do you be pure? Well, they have, 800 and some rules on how to be pure. Of course, some that contradict others. But there was rule upon rule trying to instruct someone how to become close to God through ritual purity. And this is what Jesus is confronting them on. He's saying, no, whether I eat with unwashed hands or not does not make me closer to God. What does make me closer to God is what comes out of my mouth, the way I treat people, the way I love people, the way I forgive people. And then he goes on in this discussion. He's able, this is more sophisticated discussion with the Pharisees where he said, hey, you guys give lip service to God. You follow all the rules, all right, but you use those very rules to do things that you should not be doing. They were using this rule that they could put aside their money or their goods for temple use and then not use it to support their own parents and to support the widows and the old people in the community. They were using a technicality in the law to get what they wanted for their own good and their own greed. So we have that interchange where Jesus says, I'm having nothing more to do with you. You're not listening to me. You do not want to hear because you do not want to change. So these people who knew the law better than anybody else did not recognize God's Son in their midst. So Jesus says, we're out of here. He presents his case and then he leaves. He not only leaves them, he leaves the whole region of Galilee. He's had it, I think. And he moves over to Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is kind of like us maybe moving over to Iraq. This is like us moving over to somewhere where, why in the world would he go there? Not wanted there. People do not have the same faith. These people are considered dogs. They're considered unworthy. They're considered sinners. They're definitely unclean. But he goes there. Not only does he go there, but he knows someone there because he hides out in the house. He doesn't even want anybody to know he's there. He's going to hide, to get away, because something is terribly wrong. The people he came to witness to, the people he came to show the love of God to, are rejecting him because he has said things that have offended them. And his disciples say, you know, Jesus, we're here with you, but you really upset those people back there. And he looks at his disciples, the second encounter. You don't get it yet. And earlier he'd said, you have so little faith. These are people that are with him day and night. These are people that he's devoting his time to be the church. And they do not get it. So here they are in Canaan. This totally unfamiliar place, this foreign place, this place where they're unclean people, not religious, not like us, different. Dogs. And there's a woman there who's lower than the low, a woman Canaanite who comes by herself, not escorted with a man. And she recognizes Jesus. Now, isn't that remarkable? The Jewish leaders didn't recognize him. The disciples don't recognize him. You know, nobody's recognizing Jesus. But here's this Canaanite woman. How did she even hear about him? She recognizes him, and she shows she recognizes him because her first reaction is, Lord, have mercy. That is how she comes before Jesus. Lord, have mercy. And she comes not for herself, but because of her deep love for a child who's tormented by a demon. Well, now we're going to see a Jesus that we're not too familiar with in the Gospels. A Jesus who is not kind and loving, who does not reach out to her like he did to the centurion. Dead silence. Nothing. Have you ever said something to someone, maybe you were trying to apologize, or maybe you were trying to make a point, and rather than their responding, there's dead silence? Do you know that feeling of hitting a marshmallow and nothing comes back? Very, you know, a very intimidating, probably the most intimidating place to be, because there's no response to silence. But this woman who has no status, who is nothing to the Jews, is not deterred. My child has a demon, and I know who can heal her. She reaches out. You are the Son of David. You are the Anointed One. She knows who he is. Then he looks at her, probably waits a minute, and he said, but wait a minute, I came to the Jews. And she said, but I know you can heal my child. Why should I bother giving the bread for the Jews to dogs? Well, what would you say then? Would you get mad and go off and say, well, I'll find healing somewhere else. I'll go to another doctor. What would you say? She does not say anything to defend herself. All she says is, even the dogs get the crumbs under your table. Wow. That woman, in her low status, in her low state, in her pace of humility, has basically checkmated Jesus. She has won that argument. And his response to her is, your faith is great. He has just told the religious leaders of the day that they didn't know what they were talking about, and their faith is fake. He just told his disciples, why can't you believe in me? Why don't you have any faith? You know, where are you? Why don't you understand? But to this woman, his response is, your faith is great. And what you want will be done. And instantly her child is healed. What a wonderful example of how to come into relationship with our God. Not through knowing the law, not through being able to quote certain sites in Scripture, but through showing mercy and compassion based on the fact that you realize God has shown you great mercy and compassion. Now today we look at the horrific events going through our country in Charlottesville and Boston. And what I sense are these huge sides developing. Jesus is not a side person. Jesus is an inclusive person. Jesus is not a shrinking violet. He does confront truth to power. But he does it, and then he loves those people enough to die. He confronts our sin. He confronts our stubbornness, our, quote, rightness. He convicts us, but yet he loves us and calls us back into relationship. So however we go when we leave this place, if we want to truly be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, then reach out in love and compassion. do not reach out in rightness, because God is right. We are all just trying to discover what it means to truly love and truly forgive. We have a hymn that we're going to be singing at the end of this service, if I can remember, but I told Justin to break in if I don't. And it's a hymn that Bishop Brookhart sent us. And he thinks it reflects greatly our need. Let me have it's on page 591. I'd like for us to look at it. It's a prayer. But he wrote it for us, for the church to have during this time of upheaval. It is a beautiful prayer. O God of earth and altar, bow down and hear our cry. Our earthly rulers falter, our people drift and die. The walls of gold entomb us, the swords of scorn divide. Take not thy thunder from us, but take away our pride. And if nothing else, the Canaanite woman has shown us how to love, how to live, and how to walk with our God as people who are humbled, but empowered and not deterred to move forward as God uncovers his plan for us and for all of mankind. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.